From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They called me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. Common misconception about doing a podcast or a show like this is the idea that people should be good at speaking. We're okay at it, but the more important skill in any show of this nature is to listen. And that is why this is one of our favorite times of the week. This is our weekly listener mail segment where we get to hang out with the best part of the show, which is you. Specifically you and your fellow conspiracy realist. Today we are going to learn, we're going to get corrected with some assumptions about things like Mad Lib. We're going to have a conversation about important and dangerous misdiagnoses in the world of medicine and behavior. We're going to talk about folklore in a way that we hope fascinates everyone tuning in. And before we do any of that, we have to talk about at least a little bit of the amazing correspondence we got in response to our story from Matt on Skyborg. Not Cyborg.
Skyborg.
Skyborg.
Not Skynet. Not the Borg. Not Skyrim. Somehow a portmanteau of all of those things and thematic mishmash of at least two of them. Let's let you guess which one is not included. It has to do with an arrow in the knee. But yeah, Skyborg, the least malevolent soundingly named piece of military technology I could possibly imagine. Yeah, Skyborg. Matt, you brought that piece of strange news, terrifying news, dystopian news last week or the week before. I can't remember. But yeah, it's there's not a whole lot out there about it, which is really interesting. Like I was trying to read up on it and look up some, and there's a lot of like kind of almost marketing type videos for it. It seems like it's weird, like the promotion that's being done, very militaristically styled marketing videos. But you know, just to refresher, it is an AI type of drone. At least this version that we talked about, that you talked about, Matt, is acts as more of a wingman, sort of like it's your buddy, you know. Ben, I think you mentioned Goose. Is his name Goose? Was he the wingman from or the Iceman? I don't remember.
From
never,
Top
actually.
Gun?
I've never seen Top Gun nor Top Gun Maverick.
It's like a class. It's like any American classic. You don't have to have actually seen it to understand the story because the memes alone tell you the narrative. But yeah, man, it's spooky, right? Like the marketing there is.
Yeah, it's weird.
What was that? What was that story you talked about? Okay, so there was a successful test, but it's not public what the test was about or why it was successful, right?
Yeah, the system that is Skyborg functioned, right? That's what the test was. The sensors in the sky wingman thing that is the R2-D2 that is Skyborg worked. That's what we know.
Tight.
Yeah, all that stuff. And then we already had this part of the conversation where we sort of freaked out a little bit and made, you know, low-key kind of jokes about the thing. But really, at the end of the day, it is terrifying. Because of just the fact that AI is now being seen as like a solution for just about everything. And I found a really cool podcast. I'm going to get to the listener mail, but I found a really cool podcast today. It seems like it's more people should be listening to it. It's called AI with AI. The AI stands for Andy Ilichinsky, who I don't know his work. I just found it today, but it seems like he and his co-host, David Broyles, who's that name rings a bell? Why does that name ring a bell? Are very, very well versed in AI and they're up to date and all the latest stuff. And they point out that like algorithms and AI become this like du jour kind of solution, and that there are some problems where an algorithm or AI is not the solution. It's just not appropriate, you know, and specifically when it comes to the military. But that's a conversation for another day, but do check out AI with AI. The email that we got today actually comes from a listener who would like to go by the name Fast Mickey, which
love
sounds
it.
Like a Top Gun character as well.
Love it.
And this is what Fast Mickey had to say. Hey, guys, I've been loving your recent episodes, but there was one listener mail that I thought I'd like to respond to, specifically the Skyborg, because that's how you have to say it. Was listening to another podcast about AI. I know, right? And on that show, the interviewee dropped a real, well, that's us f***ed comment. He wanted to get rid of the idea that we humans would have any hope against AI in any real sense. The example he gave was in an airborne dogfight. As a meat machine, I'm sure you're aware that we operate at a 30 millisecond lag, plus or minus. Once we see something, the signal goes along our visual cortex, then gets processed and evaluated, and we decide what to do about it. Given even the fact that we can preemptively do things, there is still a lag.
And there's a just to pause there before you even keep going, there's also the lag of once it hits
the equipment.
Because then you've got to send a signal back down to your arms to make that move.
Oh, for sure. The round trip. And then also, yeah, there's also lag. You know, there's lag in video game controllers. There's lag in anything. So we add that into it. I mean, we are inherently kind of handicapped compared to, as he's about to get to, the AI or, you know, robots operating using machine learning. Given the fact that we can preemptively do things, there is still a lag. The AI, on the other hand, is operating at basically zero lag, and within that time would have come up with tens of thousands of firing solutions. There wouldn't be a dogfight. We would be shot out of the sky immediately, even with Tom Cruise in the pilot seat. Call me Fast Mickey, and cheers. Well, cheers to you, Fast Mickey. And yeah, I mean, you know, that's one thing that is inherently troubling, I suppose. Maybe not troubling, and maybe it's what people want. But the fact that machines and, you know, AI, for example, or whatever you want to call it, I know the AI tends to be a bit of a misnomer in the way that it's used.
I do object to it. Yeah,
I do as well. I completely do as well. It just seems to be a catch-all term. It's sort of become a pop cultural reference point. So it's a little hard to have the conversation without throwing it in there. But I think it's also important to remind people, without being condescending jerk at parties, that it is more machine learning or language modeling and things like that. But this ability for these machines to learn is vast. It's like Keanu Reeves knowing Kung Fu vast, you know, like a machine algorithm, you know, or a whatever you want to call it. Let's just call it machine learning situation can basically ingest the entire internet, you know, in the span of what it would take us to like read a a chapter in a book. Again, it all depends on processing speed and cloud computing or whatever you want to call it, like combined computing or whatever. There's lots of different scenarios, but that would change, you know, the speed of calculation or whatever. But in general, wouldn't you guys agree that that's the case? That like computers can ingest much larger pieces, much larger amounts of information than we possibly can, and come to a series of conclusions and then act much more quickly than we can.
That's why deep learning models work, right? Mm-hmm. That's why they're so astonishing and revolutionary. Yeah, absolutely. Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe this isn't like the aha moment of all of this. I think this is something that probably was always at the back of all of our minds around these things and around any conversation around this kind of stuff. But it's true. Like, the precision of this would be. But again, isn't that sort of, don't we sort of want to take the fight out of war? Don't we want to just make it like an instantaneous result? You know, that's how we want to be able to, you know, we want war to be as clean and as precise as possible. We know that didn't always work out with drones, which were being operated by humans, you know, much like a video game. But that still involves a lot of human error, even though you can still perhaps cut down the kind of collateral damage you would with a larger scale ground conflict. But this AI making decisions, again, the way they're putting it out there, it's in tandem with a human sort of minder. But like, ultimately, it is making those calculations, right? Like, Matt, I know that you probably did the deepest dive into this. Is that your understanding? Like, is it always have to ask permission? Is it presenting the human companion with options and then the human companion gets to decide?
My understanding is that it's sensor operations, basically. I don't know I don't know how you would put it. It's giving you a better understanding of the battlefield while you're operating as a pilot. That's my understanding of what Skyborg does, right? When I was researching it, there were no weapons systems on board any of the Skyborg drones that were flying as wingmen, but that seems a bit strange to me that would be the case. I highly doubt that's the final form. I don't know. What do you think, Ben?
Of course, going back to our earlier example, when the RoboDog first came out, first went public, we predicted there would be a weapon or armament of some sort attached to it. From what I understand, speaking with people, and this is publicly available knowledge, I'm not spilling any old beans here or any new beans. These are all old beans. Skyborg is meant to maintain what is called combat mass. So it is like your buddy, your eyes in the sky, you know. And I also don't think it's in any way condescending to object to the term AI. That's like, I think this is not generalized AI, is what people need to understand. And what Fast Mickey, what you're saying that's so amazing is the idea of that response time. Like, this could save human lives, save pilot lives, save the lives of people on the ground. That part is true. And I feel like Skyborg is going to be a harbinger, or already is a harbinger, of new things that are on the way. And Noel, to your excellent point about the concept of reducing the horrors of war, there is a world where technology like this could make that a reality. The question is, will it do so? How will it be leveraged, right? Like, what will the future of war look like? War has been an ugly shadow that has followed the human species all its days and nights. Will war follow non-human minds as well? To your point, I think it's a big philosophical question, and no one knows the answer yet.
That's right. And I think a lot of this, too, is the fear around it sort of based on the idea of the machine going rogue and not having some kind of parameter lock to, like, some, you know, a decision that a superior could make, or the idea of, like, experiencing the singularity and then no longer feeling the need to do what it's told. I mean, that's sort of the old, you know, Frankenstein's monster kind of trope. Like, what have we created? What have we done? But it's too late to go back. But then I think, you know, I'm realizing too, and I'm sure you guys have run across this, there is a lot of philosophical conversation centered around AI and around the existential threat that many in the, you know, philosophical community or even scientific community see as what the threat that this poses. And it's just like another example of, like, trying out a drug that we haven't fully tested yet and that we don't really understand, and putting it in a situation where if it does go wrong, it's going to be the worst possible version of going wrong. And that I yield my time.
I would just point out another piece of mail we got in concerning Skyborg from El Señor Gato, Don Gato. I can't remember, guys. Who was it? It was Señor Don Gato. Then this person pointed us to something from The Drive that was talking about a simulation where drone wingmen turned on their human pilot because, according to this story, the drones decided that in order to accomplish their mission, they had to take out the human pilot. But again, it's weird because, according to the original person whose words this article was based on, has retracted what they've said and I guess said in the future, oh no, it was just a thought experiment, that whole thing. Like, that wasn't misspoke. Real. That was just, yeah. That's my fault.
Right. Because you don't want to spook people on that. Yeah. Well, consciousness objectively is nothing more than a thought experiment, right? That's so unhelpful. but yeah, Noel, with Fast Mickey's comment here, which is scientifically accurate, there's no getting around it. It's inarguable. What do you think, Matt, as well? What do you guys think? Is this definitely going to roll out? I believe the last time we talked about this, the big aim of the defense contractor creating this stuff was to get a hold of the congressional wallet. Do we think that's going to happen?
Ooh, well, it usually seems. I mean, it's definitely being touted that way. What's the company? Kratos?
You're right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that I think, hence the marketing kind of materials. Mm. It does feel like the whatever new stuff like this. I mean, it wasn't the news, Matt, was that they tested it on an airfield and then it was, quote unquote, successful. I believe that's right. Whether that was your story or something that happened more recently, there was, like, the guys on that AI on AI podcast that I was talking about, they mentioned that there was a test at some military facility that was categorized as a success. And you know, Kratos is coming out and saying, like, yeah, we did that. That's us. Hoping to be perhaps in the era of this type of thing, the next Lockheed, you know?
Yeah, this is definitely military contractor 101, man. Put it out there and give the government something real juicy to sink their teeth into and entice them just enough and be like, oh, look, we tested our drones. It seems to be working, but we need more funding.
And they always, you can always tell when they're getting excited because their voices get really high pitched like that.
Yeah.
But it's true. And, you know, there really isn't a whole hell of a lot more to add to it other than I really do appreciate the idea that I mentioned that those guys on the podcast said that the algorithm or AI or machine learning or whatever, it's so in vogue right now, but it is inherently probably a bad solution for a lot of things. And yet I think there's blinders on, you know, in entertainment, in the military, in all sectors. It's the shiny new thing. And if we're not careful, it's going to bite us in the ass or like blow up our houses.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what y'all are talking about. Everything's going to happen in the metaverse from now on. That's what I know.
All right, Mark.
What if this universe, not necessarily our own as we record this, what if this universe where our fellow conspiracy realists are listening in, what if this is just its own unique one-off thing? What if every universe is an NFT and the world, the reality as we know it, is just a series of cascading NFTs? Just a series of bathing apes all the way down.
You know what NFT stands for? Nice fucking try.
Oh, I was going to say no fun triceratops.
Also accurate. There's a lot of fun jokes we can make with that one. Are people even still interested in NFTs? Didn't the bottom just drop out of that whole grift?
I think the people who put money into it are desperately interested in it.
Yeah. My apes! Yeah, go on crying about your cartoon, you know, while we're getting blown up by sky robots. And on that note of joyous positivity, let's take a break. First of all, thanks again to Maddie Fast Hands. That's you, Matt, but also to Fast Mickey. We're going to take a break, hear a word from our sponsor, and then come back with more messages from you.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we have returned. We're going to take a spoonful of sugar approach here. So we're going to talk about something quite serious that likely affects many of us tuning in this evening in one way or another, whether or not it's you directly, it may be someone you know. Here's our letter. Oh, and then we'll follow it with something hilarious from our friends very far down south. Our first letter. Hi, my name is V, and I was wondering if you guys could possibly talk about the missing generation of autism in women. How autism is commonly only seen as a male issue until recently. I can't remember the exact percentage, but I believe 90% of women in the 1990s never were properly diagnosed with autism because it was only studied in boys. V continues, I'm a 26-year-old Puerto Rican woman, and I just realized I'm autistic. I spent my whole life wondering why I felt so alien compared to other people. It's bittersweet realizing this. I started to realize it because I see the traits in my children. I was selective mute as a child and had no social skills. I had to repeat kindergarten due to having to do play therapy and speech therapy, but yet still they missed my diagnosis simply because I'm a girl. I'm interested in your opinion on this. Also, there's a theory that psychologists believe that borderline personality disorder, or BPD, is actually female presentation of autism that was misdiagnosed. Let me know your opinion. First off, V, I can assure you, from experience, the people who have to repeat kindergarten can go on to live wonderful and fulfilling lives. I'm speaking from firsthand experience. I didn't make it. I didn't make it through kindergarten on my first run through due to lack of social skills. What do you guys think about that? I know autism and the autism spectrum can be a very sensitive subject for people and something science is still trying to grok to get its head around.
Remember that email we got the other week from a lovely listener who told us about their son and their public school experience mm-hmm. and how they were neurodivergent, but the school didn't quite know how to categorize them. Mm-hmm. And then they slapped them with some label that was sort of like, it's a thing, but we don't quite know. And then that even eventually was replaced with another term. Forgive me for forgetting the exact terms. But the point is, yes, definitely. I mean, it's hard to pin down. Schools don't know what to do with it. It seems like childhood psychology is something of a black box in many cases, and a lot of, you know, cases of autism fly under the radar in whatever gender. And it doesn't surprise me to note that the idea of women being underdiagnosed to such an alarming degree, but it does not surprise me. You know, it just seems like there's sort of a grin and bear it mentality, and it's difficult to really understand the fallout from that.
I've never heard that concept that borderline personality disorder is actually an autism diagnosis. I've never heard that at all, ever. Not once. But it seems interesting. There is such a history of misdiagnosing women in this country with things, or, you know, falsely diagnosing them with something that isn't real at all. There's muddy waters here. I was looking at, what is this, PubMed? This is the National Library of Medicine. Something in here, and it's from February 2022. The title of it is Finding the True Number of Females with Autistic Spectrum Disorder by Estimating the Biases and Initial Recognition and Clinical Diagnosis by Robert McCrossan. Seems pretty legit.
Mm-hmm. The first thing you should know, V, is that you are by no means isolated in this situation. There's quite a bit of scholarship evaluating this, and there's a really, okay, clearly I'm a bit biased, obviously, but there's a great episode from our buddies Josh and Chuck over at Stuff You Should Know about BPD, borderline personality disorder. The title is The Worst Disorder or Not a Disorder at All. Highly recommend check that out for anybody wondering what borderline personality disorder is. It is typically understood as, it's called a mental illness currently, that severely impacts a person's ability to manage their emotions. Shadows of medical mistakes in the past, right? Like the idea that hilarity or being hilarious is one's ability to quote unquote not control their emotions. It is thankfully acknowledged now that Western medicine has done a terrible job addressing the concerns and the health basically anybody who's not a certain demographic of dude. You know what I mean? We all know the ugly story of how gynecology became a thing. We all know the ugly story of lobotomies, I assume. Let us not forget the human species is the same primate that beat the shit out of the first guy who was like, hey, maybe wash your hands. Semmelweis. And he didn't even ask everybody to wash their hands. He asked surgeons to maybe wash their hands before they put their hands inside of people. And they were like, this guy's crazy. Lock him up. You may be interested to find, V. I was certainly interested to see that, to your point, Matt, there is a lot of newer scholarship on this. And it does appear that for one reason or another, again, none of us are medical professionals, for one reason or another, there has been an intense, traceable and intergenerational tendency to misdiagnose autism spectrum or neurodivergence in women and female identifying humans. And it's egregious because that affects people's lives. Like Noel, to your point, to our excellent listener's point earlier, a few weeks ago, regarding how a one size fits all education system does not fit every growing mind, we see the same thing here, you know? And I cannot help but, knowing just a little bit of history we do know, I cannot help but imagine there were a ton of innocent people with the best of intentions who were unjustly told that they were quote unquote acting crazy, right? And it's egregious. It continues. I found some statistics. I want to shout out the Gersh Autism Center in March of this year, March 15th. They had a great and sobering collection of statistics. They say the following. I'll just read the quote. Quote, since autism was first identified in the 1940s, boys have been more commonly diagnosed than girls. The ratio of males to females with autism is generally quoted as 4-1, meaning 4 dudes to 1 dudette. Though it is believed the true ratio is lower, one research group estimates the actual male to female ratio appears to be 3-4, flipping the direction. Another study found that, get this, 80% of females remain undiagnosed at age 18, which has serious consequences for their mental health.
Mm.
I mean, I know it's not quite a conspiracy. There is hopefully not some sort of creepy cabal of Monty Burns-esque scientists, you know, steepling their fingers and saying, yes, let's just ruin people's lives. But yeah.
Ben, you evoke that image often, and I appreciate it, so it's always in my head. But I swear to God, do you think that's what Elon Musk is going for in his photo ops? Because there are multiple images of him with his fingers steepled and a grumpy look on his face, like as though he's plotting the world's destruction.
I'm not sure. Maybe it's just, again, we recently did this thing about billionaires. They live in rarefied air, man. They do have typically armies of people controlling how their public image is presented. So there is a non-zero chance that those images you're seeing have been greenlit by that guy. So maybe that's the way he wants to present.
That's kind of my thinking as well. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't have a whole heck of a lot to add to this one.
Well, I would like to add some more stuff if we go back further. If we go to Psychology Today, I want to shout out Robert T. Mueller, PhD, who is bringing some more facts to bear about this danger of misdiagnosis. Dr. Mueller says 42% of women and girls with autism received at least one misdiagnosis before they were correctly diagnosed. And this professor is arguing that there's not a clear reason for this misdiagnosis to occur. But this is a sticky subject. This may be controversial. This person is arguing that there may be some social behavior, some camouflaging, or as it's also known, masking, that may play a role in this. And this stuff does have consequences. There is a ripple effect. We want to hear from everybody else. If this applies to you, we want to hear about your experiences with misdiagnosis, your thoughts on neurodivergence. It's something that society is getting its head around together. And it's going to take time. It's going to take time and honesty. It's probably going to include, let's just be candid here, it's going to include some difficult conversations that maybe not everybody would like to have. And we welcome you to be a part of that. As you know, hopefully, if you're hearing this, we have your back and we want to hear from you. Now, that is a serious thing, but we promised you a spoonful of sugar. With that, before we go to our next ad break, here is a complaint. Matt, Noel, Doc, Holiday, codename Doc Holiday, we got a complaint. And a while back, I cannot remember how long ago, a while back, we made an offhand reference to something called Mad Libs. We all know what Mad Libs are.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just mainly remember it from like road trips and stuff as the kind of things they'd sell at like
gas stations or, you know, the Cracker Barrel. But I guess people in other countries probably don't know what the Cracker Barrel is either. I guess that's a pretty American thing. But it's just where you fill in the blanks and make silly stories, right? Like, I can't even do it. Bananaed my goose on the way to the grocery face, you know? Like, right?
Yeah. I recently finished listening to your hypotenuse regarding metatarsals. And I have to admit, I'm a little perplexed that you didn't fart symphonically, right? Like that would be any phrase in there that sounds weird is a blank in the sentence that you write.
But aren't you supposed to put a certain part of speech?
They'll be like noun, adjective, verb. Yeah. They'll help you out. They'll help you out. There are some guide rails.
So it's educational, kind of, right? To that end, isn't it sort of meant to be to teach you about parts of speech?
Yeah, okay. It's the more wholesome, more educational predecessor to the famous grassroots card game, Cards Against Humanity.
Right.
So our fellow conspiracy realist Savory writes in and says the following. I think you guys need to realize that people from all around the world listen to a podcast, not just Americans. I needed you to explain what Mad Libs were to me because I didn't have a freaking clue. Don't make assumptions. Makes an arse out of you and me. That just made my day because first off, it's true. And then second, this might be fun. Guys, it got me thinking, what are other versions or equivalents of Mad Libs? Like, do you guys know of any other games that might be really familiar to Australians or people in India that aren't familiar other places?
Cards Against Humanity is very popular, like, everywhere, right? I assume that one's got crossover appeal. But again, these kinds of emails do make me question my, like, do I have a U.S.-centric view? I like to think not, but
The bubble.
You never know, man. Like, have people in Australia heard of Cards Against Humanity? I would assume yes, if they sell it, like, at, you know, big box stores and stuff. But Mad Libs aren't really a thing anymore, I guess.
Yeah, maybe they're like they're like old magazines. I would put them on magazine level.
Like, what's that one called? Highlights, you know?
In Canada, I think they're called Wacky Blanks.
Are you serious?
No, I'm joking.
You had so wholesome. I believe it.
You were 80% happy. But like magazines like Reader's Digest, which is common to us, like common knowledge to a certain demographic of the U.S. or a certain generation. But if you went on TikTok and said, hey, do you remember Reader's Digest? A lot of people wouldn't know it. I do think it was an assumption to have that throwaway joke about Mad Libs. And I just wanted to end this part of our weekly listener mail segment by thanking Savory, because that was an assumption. And people do need to strive to get outside of their bubbles of assumption. Some bubbles, bubble assumptions. It's there somewhere. That portmanteau is out there.
Oh, it's there. Hold on. So I just found a website called WordLibs, or actually wordfinder.com, and it's a Mad Libs generator. So give me a color. Any color.
Chartreuse.
How do you even spell that, Ben? Of course you would pick a color that I can't spell.
Blue.
Fair enough. I could probably figure it out. I'll have an adjective, please.
Wobbly.
Or I can just hit the random. Wobbly. Great. I love it. Wobbly. Time, I'll give it a time. I'll say noon. Another adjective. Let's just go crazy and say farty. And
Love it.
A place. What you got? Give me a place. I need a place.
Bhutan.
Okay, Bhutan, baby. Now we've got a food. I'm going to go with banana because I already said that earlier. Another food, y'all. Any food will do.
Red fish.
Red fish. Got it. The deliciousest of fish. All right, now we need a verb.
This is going on for a while.
It's almost done. We're almost there. Okay. It's a sentence. I mean, some Mad Libs are whole stories sometimes. This is pretty reasonable. I need a verb.
Oh, jump.
Jump.
Love as well.
Now, okay. A noun. Let's just go with hot dog. A hot dog is a noun. It's a food, but it's also a noun. And a number. How about the old number of the beast, y'all? Y'all cool with that? Mm-hmm. 666. Go mad.
Bats are so cool. They are blue, wobbly animals which have wings. They like to fly around at noon, which makes some people scared of them. But bats are farty, and they don't want to hurt people. I have a pet bat that lives in Bhutan. I like to feed him banana and redfish. He likes to jump. I am his favorite person, but he also likes hot dog. I want to convince my parents to get me 666 more bats. See, that's what a Mad Lib is, y'all. And it's funny. It's silly and funny.
And it's something you can play along with at home. It'd be fun, too, to crowdsource Mad Lib if there was a way to get all our fellow conspiracy realists to do that. It would be like when, oh, gosh, what was that country? Was it the United Kingdom that asked people to suggest a name for a new boat? And the number one answer was Bodie McBoat.
Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah, Bodie McBoatface. Good note.
And,
good note.
And I got to say, since this listener mail came from Australia, I know Australia and New Zealand aren't the same, but you both kind of call bats bits. Just putting that out there.
We chill for bits.
Yeah, it would be fun if a New Zealander or an Aussie read this particular Mad Lib. I will not even attempt to do so, but that was fun.
I think it would be even more fun, Savory, and any of our friends down under. I think it would be more fun if you just wrote to us with a list of things like verb, noun, description, etc. Have us feed it to you blind, black box it, and then tell us what the sentence ended up being. Because again, you are the most important part of this show. We're going to pause for a word from our sponsor. Thank you to V. Thank you to Savory. We want to hear your responses, of course. 1-833-STDWYTK, conspiracy@iheartradio.com. We're going to have a word from our sponsor. We'll be right back.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we have returned with a bit of a plot twist. We were going to examine an amazing piece of correspondence regarding the Exorcist files. We got a lot of response from that. One in particular that we all loved was from Moshe, who reached out to us, and I don't know you all, maybe it's because of what we were about to talk about that we had to save this for another evening.
Ghost in the Machine. Ghost in the Machine.
Yeah, perhaps a Dybbuk.
Yeah, well, that's a good tease, Matt. I know you were excited to talk about this, but you're unfortunately having some computery issues that will be resolved in the very near term. But we didn't want to leave you out of this conversation, especially since it was your pick for today.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've got my 2013 Mac currently sitting on a couple of ice packs, trying mm-hmm. to cool it down because it's overheating and it won't allow me mm-hmm. to record. We've literally had to stop like 20 times while we're recording this because my dumb machine, that's my fault of letting it live this long. I should have put it down years ago.
You're a humanitarian, wow. Matt. No one yeah. can fault you for that. our robot overlords will likely spare you or at the very least make you a hand servant of some sort.
You're
you know?
Awesome, Matt. You're one of my absolute favorites.
We got this from Moshe, you know, and we picked it out as soon as it came in because it's just a fascinating concept. I think we've talked about just the idea that exorcisms occur in other religions. It's not just the Catholic Church that has the lock on exorcising demons and other types of like nefarious creatures that are not human. So we will get into this. Maybe we'll read it next week and hopefully my computer can come in by then.
But thankfully, your computer lived a long and illustrious life.
It did.
Like alliteration. Back in the Mad Libs world in my head.
But I feel
10 years old. Happy birthday. Happy death day. Out the pasture for you, laptop. But no, I feel like we did it proud with today's conversation that it did manage to record. And why tempt fate? Let's just wrap it up and bring this one back for a future episode of Listener Mail.
So thank you, of course, to V. Thank you to Savory. Thank you to Fast Mickey. I love your name, Mickey.
So good.
Thank you to Moshe. And thank you to everyone who has written in about all these things. We cannot wait to hear from you folks. Find us on Instagram. Find us on TikTok. Find us on Conspiracy Stuff. You know the drill by this time, longtime listeners. If you don't like any of that slow jazz, you can always give us a call on your telephonic device.
That's right. 1-833-STDWYTK is the number to call. Leave us a message at the sound of Ben's dulcet tones. You've got 3 minutes to tell your tale. Let us know what to call you, preferably not your real name, unless you want to. That's fine, too. Just make sure you let us know, and we will call you that. And we will respect your anonymity if that's what you prefer as well. We'll do an anonymous. We're not scared. You might very well find yourself in the company of some of the lovely folks that Ben shouted out from today's episode. If you don't want to do any of that and you want to reach out to us using your hands and a keyboard, you can do so by sending us a good old-fashioned email. We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com. Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.